bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the mercy and the grace. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us. And thank you for being so kind and gracious to us. For dying for our sins, O Lord. And Lord, for helping us to be moved by your Holy Spirit to have you as our personal Lord and Savior. What a joy to have you in my heart. What a joy, O Lord, to be able to proclaim you to others. What a joy, O Lord, we have to know that eternity is ours with you. We thank you for this, and we pray, O God, that we are not only worthy of it by standing up for you, but that you have first place in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 31. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Luke 18, beginning at verse 31. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked, and insulted, and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the roadside begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come over, he asked him, saying, "What is it that I should do for you?" And the man said, "Lord, that I would receive my sight." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole or well." And immediately he received his sight. He followed Jesus, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to the Lord. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you this morning, when you woke up, rolled over and said, "If I could only sleep another 5 minutes. Yeah, you know, we do that, don't we? I want to put the clock on snooze. I can remember my kids growing up, and I would hear their alarm go off. 5 minutes later, I'd hear it go off again. And I asked them, "What are you doing? Why did I put it on snooze?" I says, "Well, why do you do that?" "Well, it wakes me up." And I says, "You woke up the first time and turned it off. Why don't you get up?" "No, it's better this way. I feel better if I can turn it off 2 or 3 times. And many times we do the same thing with the Word of God. God speaks to us, and we don't want to hear him, so we turn him off. And, you know, we look back into our Old Testament lesson, and we see Jeremiah mourning because the people would not listen. They would not hear what God had to say to them. Remember, Israel at that time was under the Babylonian Empire, and the two southern kingdoms were still somewhat intact, and Babylon had kind of left them alone. But they were in charge of them, but they'd kind of left those people to do what they wanted. And Jeremiah was trying to warn them. And in the chapters we're doing in the Bible study, we see that discourse that Jeremiah has been giving to these people. Now he's mourning and hurting for himself, and he's saying, Lord, I have prophesied to these people. I have told them what you have told me. And I have warned them over and over and over, and they won't listen. And he's almost maybe feeling sorry for himself in a way. And then he goes on and he says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we aren't saved. Isn't the king in Jerusalem? Isn't the king in Israel? Isn't the king there? Why are we taking and having to go to another far country? Because we would not hear what the king had to say to us. And we would not hear what Jesus is speaking to us today many times. We find Jesus says, you know, I am holy and I am the same as God. I am equal to God. And therefore I can forgive sins because I am the Son of God. And so he does that. He opens his blind man's eyes. That blind man glorified God and believed that he was the Son of God. And he glorified him. And how many people seen it and they believed? And yet the disciples, when they were told what was going to happen to Jesus, wouldn't believe. It says they did not believe and they didn't understand. These things were hidden from them. They were looking for Jesus to set up a kingdom on earth to get rid of the Roman Empire. They were looking where they would be in a position of prestige and a position in which people would look up to them. And Jesus says, my kingdom is of love and forgiveness, but also redemption, holiness, and justice. And we find that the holiness of God is something we in ourselves cannot attain because we are by nature sinful and unclean. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, it tells us in Isaiah. Our righteousness can never match up good enough to save us because God is so holy and so righteous that we have to come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for giving your life, the perfect life, for us. And we've seen Jesus told the disciples, he says, we're going up to Jerusalem. I will be turned over to the Gentiles. I will be mocked. I will be spit upon. I'll be scourged. He says, I'll be put to death. I'll be hung on the cross. I'll be put in the grave. And on the third day, I will rise again. Doesn't that sound like a good Easter message? And Lent starts on Wednesday. We find that we have the round robin here. And so a week from Wednesday, we'll be out in Norland. And there we'll have Sather will be bringing the message. This Sunday, you have to put up with me. Or this Wednesday, I should say. But that's okay. But you know, God loves us. God wants us to know that he sent his Son into the world for one purpose and one purpose only, to die for our sins, to help us that as we believe in him and have him in our heart and in our life, we know we can have eternal life. We can speak as Job spoke in chapter 19 of Job. He says, you know, even though my body and my physical body turns to dust and the worms eat it, he says, I know I will see my Redeemer face to face in the body, and this is what will happen. You see, our soul does not die. Our soul goes into our eternal inheritance whether it's of God or not. If it's not of God, we will be separated from God for all eternity. But if we have Christ as our Lord and Savior, we know we will be with Jesus. We will return with him when he returns for his 1,000-year reign here on earth. And Jesus is telling them that so very, very plainly. We see in our epistle lesson, some people would say that's the passage that you use when someone gets married. And Paul is using that in a similitude of that. But he's saying, I am speaking of Jesus and the church. You see, as a true believer in Jesus Christ, we are the church. We are the church in Christ because we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and therefore we let him live in our hearts, and we have said, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to do the way you want me to do it, and I am willing to let you be my guide, and I want to serve you because of what you have done for me on the cross of Calvary. You are willing to come to earth, willing to live as I live, but you lived without sin, and you lived a perfect life. You were tempted, and yet you overcame all these temptations because you said, it is written, we must live by the word of God and not by the physical foods. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And Jesus says, I will give you my peace. Not as the world gives do I give it to you, but I give you the peace which passes all understanding. And even though you're in the world, but not of the world, you will find that you have pure peace and joy because Christ is in you. When you go to work, or when you meet your friends, or when you meet an acquaintance, or when you do business, are you showing the love of God to those around you? Are you showing the love of God in such a way that they know you have something they don't, and they want what you got? They want to have what you got, and you have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You know, I met a man, and I don't know just how to say it. He said he was in the ministry, and he sounded good, and he was telling me about his job in the ministry. He was setting up schools and proclaiming Christ to many people, and they had some work in the Dominican Republic that they were doing. And I was with him, and we had an incident happen in which upset our schedule big time as far as the physical world goes. It turned over our schedule by, I don't know, a couple hours, maybe 2.5 hours, and turned everything around. And that man came unglued, if you know what I mean. He didn't swear, but you would not know he had Christ as his Lord and Savior. And there was many people that heard him, and to take and say, I'm living for the Lord. He couldn't say it. You have to ask God to forgive you of your sins when you sin, to help you to realize that everything we do is being watched by the non-Christian. We have to find and realize that we have to understand what God is telling us. Jesus told the disciples, we're going up to Jerusalem, and I will be crucified. And they didn't understand it. They were blinded to that. Yet he took the blind man that couldn't see, and that blind man wanted to see, and he gave God the glory. The story goes about the man that he had an accident, he went blind. And his friend came to him, and he says, I am so sorry that you lost your eyesight. And the man says, "Don't feel sorry for me. Praise God." And the friend says, "What do you mean?" He says, "You know, when I could see, I looked for myself. What could I get and what could I do? But you know, when God took my sight from me, He opened the eyes of my heart and I realized that I needed Jesus. And when I needed Jesus, I accepted Him as my personal Lord and Savior. And you know, I am joyful. And even though I can't see you or anything else because of my physical blindness, my spiritual eyes sees heaven and it sees my reward. And it says, praise God from whom all blessings flow." Can we say that? What a wonderful, wonderful feeling to know. And you know, many times we have hard things in our life and we find that when we turn to the Lord and put Him first, He erases all those hard things. How many of us this morning when we got up said, "Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. And thank you for giving me the provisions I need this day." Or did we just get up and say, "Oh, it's another day. I better wash and brush my teeth." You know, we forget so easy. Keep Christ first. And it's so important to know that the joy of the Lord should shine out through us, even though we are in hard times sometimes. And the things in our physical life may be tearing us apart. We still have the glory of God to look forward to. And we have the glory of God to know that He is holy and just. And in His holiness, He will help us to be holy. And He will help us to realize that our salvation comes only from what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Jesus says, I'm going up there. They're going to spit on me. I didn't do anything wrong. They're going to beat me, and I didn't do anything wrong. They're going to hit me and mock me. And they're going to whip me. And my vestige will be almost unrecognizable. They will hang me on the cross and take all my clothes away, and they'll take my coat and they'll cast lots for it. And then they'll throw a spear into my side to make sure I'm dead. And yet I'm doing it because I love you, He says. That's my love for you. God the Father sent me into this world so that I would die for you, that you can accept what I have done and you can believe in my works. And by believing, you too can be saved and have eternal life. What a praise and wonderful feeling that is, to know that Jesus is living in us, that Jesus is taking us, even if we feel we're having hard times in this life, that we can uplift and say, you know, even though this life might be hard, the life that I see out there is praising God and living in glory. I'm not taking my eyes off of Christ, and I will go forward seeing the eternal reward that's for me at the end of my journey. You know, when we come to Jesus, we say, "Lord, help me. I believe, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief to be put aside, that I can believe you in all things, that I can trust in you in all things, that by your help and by your grace, you will help me to live and to not give in to sin, but to live for you, to glorify you in all things." What a wonderful, wonderful praise. And we know that because you are holy, you want us to be holy, and we should imitate Christ in our lives. We should not let these things take over us, and we should not let the physical world rule us, because Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray you would watch over us, keep us, help us, O God, to live for you, not only today, but every day. And as we live for you, Lord, you would be shining out from us. And as you shine out from us, people will see you and glorify you and help you, O Lord, to be spread throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 561.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Should buffet through trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, no hapless of the glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. Is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul, is well.